WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, welcome to Rockin' Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of January 16th and 17th. One weekend closer to springtime. But whoa! Don't rush things. Don't rush things. Please, still plenty of fishing and hunting opportunities out there. On a fishing end, it's going to be more fresh water than salt. But I'll tell you, if you're going to do the salt, you're going to do the talc thing. Deep water wrecking, man, there are some monsters. Double-digit fish common now. Now, they just had, a 20-plus pounder, a couple of 20-plus pounders caught down Cape May. It's a slower bite. You're not going to be, bailing fish. But, man, when you get them, they are super, super quality. Tog bite is going on in the freshwater scene. You have the crappies. You have the white perch, brackish, and bordering on the fresh there. We have Captain Dave. Hopefully, we can get him for a white perch report at the end of the program. Pickerel are active as ever. Yellow perch are active as ever. And if you listen last week, Lane L. from the South Jersey Kayak Bass Fishing Club turned you on at some spots. The largemouth bite with this moderating temperature. They're moving around. They're getting up shallow. Prime time to catch some largemouths. On another positive note, the U.S. boat sales reach a 13-year high in 2020. Pandemic be damned. I mean, it was an across-the-board increase. Personal watercraft, wake boats, pontoon boats, big. Big one. Now people say, pontoon boats, Tom P., oh, man, how old are you? Ever see some of these pontoon? One, the luxury ones that are $100,000, $150,000. Forget those. Some of these fishing models with the twin outboard, they saw one with three outboards on the back. These things will kick your ass, man. Don't take them out front. There's some that are supposedly big water worthy. Yeah, man, I wouldn't try. But anyway, on a negative note on the boat sale info, the AC Boat Show has been postponed tentatively until sometime in April. I'll have a date for you next week. My notes are just all over the desk here. It was supposed to be the end of February, but they pushed it back 5 or 6 weeks to see what is happening between the governor and the town of Atlantic City and the protocols, et cetera, ad infinitum. Okay, coming up, we have Mike Bush, Mountain Mike Bush. He is the manager of the Damon Howitt division of Martin Archery. That's a traditional and the recurves. And he also is a sales rep. And Martin also makes a good line of compound bows. Here's the dealio. This past week, the introduction by Raven of the R500, 500 feet per second. And the Excalibur, the recurve technology, well, dual strike technology, two rails, two arrows, give you a follow-up shot. Is a technology getting to the point where it may cause more restrictions on hunting, maybe losing hunting areas? I don't know. Mike gives his comments. He's a former dealer as well, and Mike hunts with them all. He hunts with the longbow. He hunts with the recurve. He hunts with the compound, and he hunts with a crossbow on occasion, and he's been in the industry a very long time. His take, this is some pretty serious stuff coming up. When is the technology too much? Hey, I'm all for technology. But here he raises some good points. And also coming up a little later on in the segment, you have any of those pheasants from the stocking season in the freezer? Also, bobwhite quail in the freezer. There is a really luscious pheasant piccata recipe coming up in our fourth segment with Chef Jeannie Demange. Oh, yeah. Now, it's not complicated. It sounds, as she explains it, it's right there. You don't have a chance to write it down, whatever. Let's go to the podcast. And you will, this is just really tongue slap your brains out. Delicious. And like I said, if we can wrap it up with Captain Dave the Rave Shoal, white perch bite is torrid, man. Torrid. Okay, grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's Talk Station.
If you own a small business, you know how hard it can be to find new customers. But maybe you're unaware of new tools that can help your business stand out. Go to GetLocalCustomersNow.com for a free market competitive analysis that will show you what other businesses are doing to find new customers and how you can do it too. There's no cost and no obligation. Be one of the first business owners to sign up and receive $500 in free advertising on this station. Get started today. Visit GetLocalCustomersNow.com. That's GetLocalCustomersNow.com.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Well, are you people deered out yet? I know I'm not. There's still a few weeks left in the winter bow season statewide. Now, there's 15 DMZs that are open until February 20th. Okay, so there's still some whitetail hunting opportunity to be had with the bow, be it the longbow, the recurve, the compound, or the crossbow. Speaking of the crossbow, the bleep hit the fan, it seems, this past week or so. Excalibur introduced its twin strike, okay, dual fire technology, dual shot technology, actually two bolts, a.k.a. arrows, can be fired, not at the same time, okay, offering you the second shot, the follow-up shot, which is, yeah, okay, people are saying, what do you need that for? And the second is Raven. Now, Raven's been famous or infamous, depending on how you look at it, for their super high-speed bows. I have a new one out. This is, what's it, the R500 or something like that. Man, this thing is clocking speeds according, you know, and then when they're in the labs, in the chronograph, shooting these special arrows, et cetera, hitting 500 feet per second. Mary, mother of God, that's almost like a rifle. And the technology, well, who knows what 2000, that was, again, I was in the industry, but on the fishing end mostly for 25 years. They're already working on a 2022 and 2023 product line. Same is it with the archery biz. Now, again, there are proponents, and I pointed a muzzleloader cruise on this. Well, it's technology, man. It's technology. Why not take advantage of it? Remember what, to me, a primitive weapon, like in Pensy, a flintlock. That's a primitive weapon, muzzleloader. These muzzleloaders today, 200, 250 yards, bing, you friggin' hit a gnat in the ass with that. Well, and there's the other camp, technology is ruining the sport, and it looks like it could be a threat to bow hunting. Okay, speaking of these two bows, especially on public lands, especially with, in the latter part, the 150-foot rule. Join us online right now, very special guest. I'll tell you, the number one hated person on the anti-hunter list in the state of New Jersey and beyond, I will say. It's Mike Bush. Mike's the staff manager of the Damon Howitt division of Martin Archery. Now, Damon Howitt is known worldwide for its traditional bows. I mean, works of art, functioning, high-performing works of art. Mike's also a Martin Archery sales representative and Martin Archery tech support specialist. He's also a professional and noted string builder. Check that out. And a certified master bow technician. And, yes, he even takes it another step farther with custom compound and traditional bow builder. Now, Mike and I have been at variance on several topics over the years we've known each other, but I wanted his counsel on this because he had a very successful archery business, retail business, some years ago. In fact, he was written up in Arrow Trade magazine. It's called Mountain Mike Sports Shop. Got a lot of youngsters and guys and gals who never picked up a bow before into the sport of not only shooting archery, but bow hunting as well. Want Mike's take? Listen, people, the guy, he sees it on both ends, and people say, oh, well, he's a traditionalist. He's anti-crossbow. Wrong. Mike has hunts with a crossbow in certain instances. Mike, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. I got some time on this. I'd like to get your opinion, especially, Mike, as it comes down to your assertion, not assertion, but your opinion and other assertions, I should say, rather strongly worded, that these two instruments in particular, the Twin Strike from Excalibur and this R500 from Raven, can most likely, will, definitely, whatever, no questions asked, shut down parts of Jersey's public lands to bow hunting. So, Mike, thanks for joining us. How you doing, man?
John, how's it going, buddy? Good morning.
How is the lovely D?
She's doing wonderful, like always.
Okay, and Super Trad and Psycho Marley.
Typical dogs, man. Typical.
Let me tell you, the lab, and this, and he's a Springer, correct?
Yeah, she's doing good, though. She's doing good with training. We tried breeding her, by the looks of it, wasn't successful, so we're going to have to try again.
Okay, but, and Trad,
yeah,
Trad,
go that route,
Trad just, you know? Just shoulders it and keeps going, correct?
Yeah, he's a nut job. He's a nut job. He's a good guy, though.
Well, Mike, your position in archery, especially with the Damon Howitt division of Martin, is well known. You are a traditionalist. You specialize in traditional, you know, archery, shooting, hunting.
Yes.
But you use the compound. You use the crossbow in certain instances. Mike, now this was like a 1-2 punch, man. This was a Tyson jab or a Larry Holmes jab. Yeah, I'm that old man. Followed up by just a crushing shot. The dual strike from Excalibur and the R500 from Raven. Dual two-shot technology, dual-shot technology, what have you. and blistering, mind-blowing speed. You see this as negatives, especially in the New Jersey bow hunting scene? What do you think?
Tom, well, like you said, I'm on both sides of the fence. You know, just I do want to make it clear I fully support crossbow hunting. I'm a traditional bow hunter by heart. You know, I hunt, you know, I try to hunt as much as I can traditional, but I do pick up a compound. And I have been known where, because we live pretty much off the land.
Oh, yeah.
And if it gets real, real lean the end of the year and we have a low count of deer in the freezer, I have been known to pick up a crossbow in a dire need and go out and harvest a deer or two with a crossbow if I absolutely have to get meat in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and that just, you know, pretty much an example of that. It makes it a little easier, you know, for people to get meat in the freezer. It extends your range, you know, from a traditional bow greatly. You know, traditional bows, we're limited within, you know, 15, 20 yards we typically try to get.
Exactly.
Because it becomes unethical after 20 yards. You know, in a lot of instances, a lot of guys can shoot, you know, 30, 40 yards, you know, be ethical shooting that distance. But I'm pretty much a guy that likes to stay within 20. And a crossbow, you know, I can take my effective range out to 40, 50 yards and be pretty comfortable at making that shot and harvesting that deer 100% of the time I'm pulling the trigger.
Well, Mike, what about a compound?
Compound, that's generally 40 yards.
Okay. So basically,
I try to keep everything as short as I can, but like I said, it's just I'll use whatever I can that'll extend my effective range if I have to at the end of the season. And I don't know, these two new bows that are out, Tom, the biggest issue, and you see it on the hunting pages, I'm pretty outspoken.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah, I'm outspoken. I put some posts up that ruffle some feathers from time to time, you know, in the hunting community. But I'm doing this for a reason, and it's not for the infighting. It's not to see hunters, you know, fight back and forth and call each other sissies. And
exactly.
You know, you don't get it. Let people hunt with whatever they want. And, you know, I'm all good for that. Pick up whatever tool you want to hunt with. And go kill deer. You know, if that's your prerogative, that's your prerogative. But when that tool is being introduced into the industry, that has a very good chance of affecting my hunting privileges. That's when I have to get involved. And I have to try to bring it to people's attention and say, listen, it's no longer a thing of where pick up a weapon that you want, go out and hunt, harvest a deer with it. Now it's a thing of where now other people, you're raising eyebrows in the opposite side of the hunting industry. Now you're raising the eyes of the antis because they're saying, well, look at this tool. Look at this machine. It looks like a machine that, you know, like an AR-15 to the gun people. You know, it's a single shot every time you pull the trigger, but it looks scary. And that's how they get this stuff into legislation and lawmakers to look at it. It looks scary. It can shoot, as one guy quoted in a public article, he doesn't even know how far this thing can shoot yet.
I mean, you're talking the Raven,
ones,
correct?
But the old ones can shoot 200 yards.
You're talking the Raven.
So, yeah. I mean, just for somebody to quote that publicly is, to me, it wasn't proper because if you don't know why, open your mouth and quote that. Because all you're going to do is make people think, yeah, the hunters might think it's good. Which it is, you know, I mean, but nobody's going to shoot 200 yards. Nobody's going to shoot 100 yards. Unfortunately, there are people that are on the internet. Unfortunately, you have some YouTube heroes that are out there doing it. So everybody thinks that they can do it. They're going to do it. They're going to kill a deer at 100 yards, which don't take a shot that far, please. Don't wound a deer. We got dog trackers, you know. I mean, we see what the dog trackers do. They're a great bunch of guys. They've recovered a lot of deer this year, but my opinion is it is bow hunting. You have a bow, you have an arrow, you have a single shot. You know, back in the '80s when I started, we were shooting 200 foot per second compound with round wheels and big wooden club risers. And we were killing deer with Easton 2316 aluminum arrows with Thunderhead 125s or Fred Bear razor heads on them.
I was a wasp guy, Mike. I was a wasp guy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, great broadhead, believe it. Back in the day, that was an excellent, and they still are to this day. Wasp is an excellent broadhead. But when you start reaching out and you're reaching the 500 foot per second mark, you know, I see right now what 400 foot per second crossbows are doing to string sets on them. And just as owning a shop over the years, I've seen what they can actually do if they blow up. And it's scary to think that the industry's putting out something with that much stored energy now, because eventually, you know, you're going to have failures. It's a man-made piece of equipment. You know, I hope nobody is ever on the receiving end of that type of power that's held in that crossbow, because it can be pretty destructive. I know they do thorough testing, as we do. I mean, every archery company does thorough testing, but there's only so many limits that technology can hold and that it can contain until something starts to break down.
Well, Mike, I'm sure
it's going to break down.
But I'm sure the company has you know, the warnings in there, et cetera. And again, Mike, insofar as speed,
warnings. Yeah, that's a good one, Tom. Course, you know what people do with the warnings? They open the package, they look at it, they throw everything out, they cock it, they go out in the backyard and they shoot, and then they take their top of their thumb off and they wonder why.
But Mike, that's vintage Mountain Mike Bush. Well, Mike, that is up to the operator itself, though. But I'm sure the Raven engineers have done this thoroughly. I'm sure the things are built as well as they can be, and they wouldn't, because of liability.
Sure,
my God, they wouldn't put it out on the market in this highly, highly competitive market. Listeners, where it seems every week something new is coming out. If it was going to be a harm them, I guess, you know, financially.
No, nobody wants to. Nobody wants to put out a bad product. And like I said, I'm 99.99% positive those things are, in fact, I'm 100% positive they're thoroughly tested. You know, like what any archery company would test their products before they put them out. But the problem is with the industry is now, when we hit the 300 foot per second mark, that was the holy grail back then.
Right.
Everybody was shooting for that 300 foot per second. That was the holy grail. If you had a bow that hit 300 foot per second, that was it. And the archery manufacturers hit that, and everybody was floored. Everybody, I got a 300 foot per second bow. Oh, my God, I can kill deer at 40 yards now. And then the standard went to 350, then 400.
Exactly.
You know, and, well, not even. No, it went to 350,
right.
And then PSE, they floored the industry, and they came out with the full throttle, which was 370 foot per second vertical bow. Available to the general public, and everybody went crazy. You know, that a bow could actually hit that speed. And I'll tell you, I saw one of those dry fired, and I never want to see it again.
Well, whoever dry fired it,
and it hurt the guy. It hurt the guy pretty good that dry fired.
Well, why would he dry fire it?
It happens. It happens. You know, you're drawing the bow, your arrow slips off the knock, or your knock gets too loose, or, you know, a lot of guys I've seen in competitive archery, they stand around, they're bullcrapping with their friends on the line. They go, they draw back, and they thought they had an arrow in the bow. They release, and they blow their bow up. It's just, you know, we're human. Unfortunately,
again,
humans, we make errors. We do.
Operator, Mike, listen, we're up against a hard break. We're speaking with Mike Bush. He's a staff manager of the Damon Howard Division of Martin Archery. He's also Martin Archery sales representative, Martin Archery tech support specialist, professional and noted string builder, certified master bow technician ad infinitum. Jesus, were you in your other life like an Indian quiver or something? I mean,
the traditional thing.
Like, okay, listeners, grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back with Mike Bush. Michael, one or two more questions I have for you on the Raven. Then I want to get to the Twin Strike. I've been an Excalibur fan for long. Shout out to Bill Trowbridge, the original owner, way back when, from the 90s. And so I want your take on this as well. People, be right back with Mike Bush, Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, Talk Radio 95.5.
You've been on the road for hours, covered 527 miles, listened to 3 podcasts, had 2 calls with your mom and 1 with your sister, and you're really hungry. And look at that. There's a McDonald's 1 mile up ahead meal. There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Enjoy a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit and bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles. Get 2 of the same or 1 of each for $4. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside, Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of January 16th and 17th. First page on the calendars, halfway through. Still plenty of hunting opportunities going on out there. And listen, I love my bushy tails, and I love my cottontails. Shout out to Captain Two Live Crew Cordelli on the Bayhound Charters and his beautiful beagle, Sandy Girl. Yeah, Al and I lined up for a day or two in those thick, thorny areas around the Phragmites in the marsh for those swampers. And I guess they're a subspecies of cottontail or half cottontail, half snowshoe hare. These suckers are 3 pounds, man. I mean, you get a whole pot of stew off of one bunny. But let's get back to the archery, to the bow hunting. Winter bow is still on the Raven R500. 500 feet per second, blinding, blazing, blistering, torrid, torturing, however you want to say it, has its detractors. And the new Twin Strike by Excalibur, offering you a second shot. We're on with Mike Bush. He is the staff manager, Damon Howe Division of Martin Archery. Damon Howe is world-renowned, world-known, the finest longbow and recurves works of art and works of functional beauty, man. I've shot a few of them. Smooth. I know Bear, don't get me wrong, the Bear's great. Smooth like butter, even for an old timer like me. Hey, Mike, sorry, I'm waxing eloquent on the Damon Howitt line. Mike, question before we get
deserves every bit of it.
Mike, before we get back to that, before we get to the Raven again, the Twin Strike from Excalibur.
Yeah,
the torque, less torque on a longbow and a recurve. They seem the feel seems different to me. What's the dealio?
Oh, here we go. The longbow versus the recurve.
Guys. No,
bloodbath.
No. What are you more comfortable with, Mike? Because you shoot them both. What do you shoot it? 6-7 hours a day?
I shoot a lot of arrows. I'd probably say a few hundred arrows a week. Personally, I like a hybrid longbow on our the Savannah line of our bows. Yep. That's the one I like the best. It's a hybrid. It's kind of a mix between a recurve and a longbow, and it's just, to me, that's one of my best.
It's a masterful piece of art, Mike.
I have other brands that shoot really good for me too. You know, I just it's just for some reason that Savannah fits me like a glove, and that's the one I drag through the woods all the time hunting. So.
And the thing I like about them too, Mike, I'll drag out my Ben Pearson Predator from how many decades ago. It's the string still good, wood's still good. Have the little 3-hour quiver on it, Mike. It's not even, you don't even feel anything in your hand. That's how, you know what I mean? Like, I can't sit long. I can't sit long. And that's,
I just did a release on our new 2021 high speed recurve model. And it's one of our lighter bows. And I went upstairs and I weighed it yesterday, and it's 1.7 pounds. You
can
walk
and stalk all day with that, and at the end of the day, not have one arm longer than the other. Okay, Mike, back to the R500 from Raven. So, again, the technology is there. Are you poo-pooing advances in technology? I mean, shouldn't that be up to the consumer? And then, and Mike, speed. You mentioned speed. Speed seemed to overtake other ancillary factors that can affect your accuracy, such as vibration, and also your chance of the deer ducking the string, such as loudness. When did you see speed become the end-all for the compound and crossbow lines?
Well, the problem is, first of all, speed doesn't kill a deer.
Mm-hmm.
A real sharp broadhead and a well-placed shot kills a deer. And if you've ever shot a traditional bow, you'll know a lot of times if you're shooting a decent made traditional bow, they're whisper quiet. You don't even hear a traditional bow shot because, you know, simply you're shooting heavy arrows, 600 grain, it's absorbing all the sounds. And if you miss a deer, you know, there is a chance, very good chance, you're going to have a second or even sometimes I've seen third shots taken at deer with traditional bows. Unfortunately, with a compound, the more energy you make, that energy has to go somewhere with the noise, with the decibel level, and it's going to be dispersed throughout the bow. And that's why you see on a lot of the new bows, you see all this limb dampening and silencers and, you know, everything just to try to get that piece of equipment a little bit quieter.
Mike, I go back to the cat whiskers. Oh, yeah, man, how old am I?
Them. Still use them because they're the best silencers they've ever made. The rubber tie-on cat whistles, best silencers ever made. I still use them. But, you know, speed, you get to a point. Yeah, technology is an excellent thing. Technology in the archery industry is an excellent thing. We need technology. But the biggest issue is, believe it or not, there really is no new technology. It's being recycled since, you know, oh, God, the 80s. I mean, the original Allen Patton of the early 70s, 71, 72, that's still being used today in the archery manufacturing end of it because it's a compound bow. It has wheels, it has limbs, it has a riser, and people have to pay royalties to use that technology. And it's just they're making it better. They're making improvements. They're getting, you know, doing a 30% change on something to get around the patent. They're waiting for a patent to expire so they can copy it the best they can and try to make something better off of it. But it gets to a point when you get in technology and you get into these speed things of where it can actually hurt the industry. It can hurt hunting. It can hurt the hunters. It can hurt preserving the sport for our future generations down the road because all we're doing is, in some cases, is we're making stuff look scary. We're making stuff that looks fast. That's no longer something that the general public is comfortable with. Walking through the woods with a guy holding a 500 foot per second bow that can shoot, you know, numerous yards. A guy that has two shots now. I mean, I don't know. I'm on the fence with this.
Yeah, right.
Two shot.
Yeah, Mike. I just want. Yeah,
archery
yeah.
is one shot. You got one bow. You got one arrow. It's one shot.
Well, wait. Didn't you just say that you've seen with the traditional sometimes two, even three shots? Now, what happens, Mike? Again,
absolutely.
What's wrong with having a backup if you think it's to harvest a deer, kill a deer, whatever you want to call it? I'm not much into the semantics here, but and I've seen it, Mike. Now, 99 out of 100 times in a crossbow or a compound, if there's three or four deer around, they're going to flee. But I've seen it also where you miss a clean miss and the deer looks around. Yo, man, what was that? So what, Mike, what is wrong with having that opportunity for a second shot?
My personal thought is it's not, you're not going through the motion of archery. You're just pulling the trigger again versus taking another arrow out of your quiver, having to do that silently. Having to do it so the deer don't see you, knocking that arrow, drawing your bow again, and being able to get off a second shot. You know, that's to me, that's what archery is. When you're able to sit there and boom, you take one shot. Oh, I missed. Oh, he's still standing there. All right, let's take another shot. Boom.
Yeah,
there you
and
go.
You get,
oh,
and
I
you get,
cool.
It, yeah.
I don't know. To me, like I said, it's cool. I mean, we gun hunt too. You know, you have three shots in a gun, but we're not gun hunting.
Right.
We're bow hunting. And if you look up the definition of a bow, it's, you know, it's a device that holds an arrow and shoots an arrow.
Yeah, listen,
multiple arrows.
On the line is Mike Bush, staff manager of the Damon staff manager of the Damon Howitt division of Martin Archery. He's also a Martin Archery sales representative, Martin Archery tech support specialist. Mike's also a professional and noted string builder, certified master bow technician, and custom compound and traditional bow builder. Mike, when do you sleep?
I go to bed at 7. I'm up at 2 every day.
God bless you.
That's it.
Okay, Liz, we're talking the new R500 from Raven, 500 feet per second, the ultimate technology, it seems. Which now, Mike, when do you think, 3 months, 4 months, with the things on the board already for 2022 and 23, this is going to be just a 500 feet. Now, what's that? You know, okay,
500 feet is going to be old news next year.
Now, listeners,
unfortunately, they're going to keep going.
Go to the Raven website, and there are a list of dealers. Funny, Mike, not many in the particular area I'm sitting in choose to carry it. It has a hefty price tag, listeners, $3,349.99, okay, for the base model, and $3,749 for the sniper package, whatever that is. Now, Mike, let's get, again, to the Twin Strike. I like it, but the thing, Mike, this Raven weighs 9.99 pounds. Minga mort.
I mean, that's,
yeah, now, you think the Twin Strike with the two rails would be that heavy. That's coming in at about seven. They say 7.5. I figure fully, but legit 8 pounds. But, Mike, I like the recurve. People say lack of technology. It's so easy. But even me, the most declined person with tools you've known, can change a string in the field. Okay.
Yep.
So
exactly.
So there was one of the reasons why I'm sold on the, you know, the Twin Strike, just the Excalibur lines in general. I still have an Exocet. Now, that has a manufacturer suggested retail of 2,222 and 22 listeners. If you want to head up to Shooters on Route 539, there, exit 58 of the Parkway, they have them there, and I think they're coming in at $19.99. See the bow manager, I think it was Ronnie. He'll have the Range Rover set up for it. But, Mike, again, I'm, like you said, you're on the fence. I'm a little pro for the Twin Strike. Again, it's up to the hunter, the operator, whether to use that. For those that don't like it, to scream about it, I say, don't buy one. Don't use it.
Absolutely.
But again, Mike, there
absolutely.
Is,
but
there,
you know what?
There is that ancillary threat, though.
It's going to be a determination of what is considered archery equipment and what is going to be legal to use in New Jersey specific conditions.
Well, Mike's, which leads us to, again, I was always against this, but now, like in Wisconsin, just had a study out, Mike, with the harvest of deer with the crossbow in Ohio. So what do you think? It's going to raise its head again. And listen, we're all in this. All hunter, we're all in this together. Okay, I hate that term. It's a Murphy term. We're all in this together. But about a separate crossbow-specific season. One, the debate, I don't know if it'll have to go through the legislature or whatever, how our system is set up. It's retarded. Can I still say that? It's just messed up.
Same as the bear hunt.
But, right, so do we have get an extra permit? The division's already licking his chops on that. More money coming in, but Mike, the feasibility of maybe if the technology is there of a separate crossbow season, which begs the question: okay, compound guys, Mike, I remember the arguments back in the mid to late 70s.
Yep, compound, recurve longbow,
right?
Guys.
Okay, compound guys, you have your season, and then let the recurve and longbow guys, the true traditionalists, well, if you want to call a recurve true tradition, have their season. When do you draw the line, Mike?
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. There really is no line to draw. And I, like I said, I'm fully for everything that helps somebody stay in the woods. I'm all for, you know, kids using crossbows if they can't draw a bow, if they want to go out and hunt. I'm all for, you know, elderly people or people with injuries if they can't draw a compound to use a crossbow. And like I said, I've used crossbows too.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing against them. But when it gets to the point that it's going to infringe on my privilege to hunt, and they're going to use that machine to shut down certain areas,
Mike,
certain regulations, that's when I got to speak
up. But, Mike, that hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened, Tom.
But
it's coming.
You know,
it's coming. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it's coming. These antis are sitting there. They're always chomping on the bit, waiting to get the next thing and see the next bows and see the next broadheads. I mean, you remember they tried outlawing rages. They tried outlawing all mechanical broadheads, barbed broadheads, and they did it for a little while. You know, they succeeded at that, and eventually it came into play. They were legalized. But, you know, it's just we have to look at everything and look at whether it's doing harm or whether it's doing good. You know, like I said, if something's going to be helping hunters and if it's going to be good to help people, you know, stay in the woods or help youth hunters, I'm all for that. But if people are going to be approaching that and they're going to look at something and they're going to use that against the hunting community to have either public land shut down or different regulations changed, then it's not good.
Okay. Well, Mike, we're up against a hard break. Closing out this segment, we're speaking with Mike Bush. He's a staff manager of the Damon Howitt Division of Martin Archery. That is the tradition and the traditional longbows, recurves, and the hybrids. Mike, will eventually Martin Archery get into the crossbow biz?
I'm sure they will be. I'm pretty certain they will be. You know, major companies, the bow manufacturers, they're out to make money. And right now, the money is in crossbows. You know, the crossbow sales are 2 to 3 times what vertical bow sales are.
Right.
But in another breath, it's good because we're seeing a lot of people disgusted with the technology, and we're seeing a surge of people buying traditional bows that we
eight weeks out
in production at our traditional bow facility with people that are jumping and saying, I want to try traditional. I'm tired of the technology.
Mike, we've observed easily half a dozen hunters with the recurves this year.
You're going to see more
all on public land. So, and we're actually one leaving private land. And so it's refreshing to see, but we have to listen. Mm-hmm. We have to keep it together. The finger pointing and the this sucks as that's training wheels. You say, what do you have this? Why do you have that? We can't let that happen, Mike, as my
former
neighbor said.
Pro hunting groups. They need to join just to know what's going on.
As my former neighbor, great gal, but we were a polar opposite end of the hunting thing with the crossbow compound. I'll never forget sitting on her patio and we're talking, and we were very civil. So she said, "We, as in the movement, don't have to do anything because you guys are eating yourselves alive. You're eating each other."
And they are.
So, okay, Mike, do me a favor. Let's listen. Check out Damon Howell. Mike, give that website, Facebook, Instagram, phone thing. Go.
Yeah, it's Martin Archery, www.martinarchery.com. And we're also on Facebook, Damon Howitt Bowhunter's page and the Martin Archery Facebook page.
Okay, Mike, I'd like to get you on. We know what it's the topic's going to be. It's going to be Bruins in a few weeks as this thing shakes out. Okay, Mike, you take care. Best of D and Trad and Psycho Marley.
And Wacko Trad.
And Wacko Trad, that's what I'm saying. You take care, Mike. Be good.
All right, brother. You too. Thanks.
The take on it. Check it out, man. Check out the Dual Strike Excalibur crossbows and check out the Raven R500. I like them. That Raven is, again, that sounds like it's scary looking, but it can shoot. Technology, where do you draw the line or do you draw the line? Leave that up to the consumer. Okay, grab that cup, grab that Rebel. Be right back. Rackin' Finn Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's number one talk station.
Fox News, I'm Carmen Roberts. The U.S. executed Dustin Higgs this morning, the 13th and final inmate to be put to death during the Trump administration.
Higgs used his last words to proclaim he was an innocent man. He'd been convicted of kidnapping three young women in 1996, driving them to a remote area in a federal wildlife refuge, handing another man a gun and ordering their deaths.
Fox's Jack Callahan. New York Attorney General Letitia James files suit against the NYPD and the city, claiming officers used excessive force during the protest over George Floyd's death.
She says her office's investigation found more than 150 instances of excessive force during last year's protests and that this isn't new.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. And no grand prize winner in last night's Mega Millions jackpot. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Partly cloudy for the overnight with a low temperature falling down to 28 degrees and quite mild for Friday. Times of clouds and sunshine, high 55. Rain arise for Friday night with breezy conditions, low 39. Trending cooler for Saturday, mainly cloudy skies, high temperature 49 degrees. And for Sunday, still breezy, periods of clouds and sunshine, high temperature on Sunday up to 47 degrees. I'm AccuWeather's Matt Benz on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Well, the hunting seasons are still going strong. Like I said, that was Mountain Mike Bush. His take on the Raven 500 and the Excalibur Dual Strike. These new technologies in the bow. Now, we still have bushy tail season going on. Squirrels. I love my squirrels. I'm going to come up with a squirrel. I said last time, Joe in the cat country, he wouldn't try it. But John and Mike love, my lovely Dee Marie's squirrel cacciatore. Bunny season still on. Waterfowl season, South Zone, Canada Goose goes to the 26th. Coastal Zone Ducks, January 30th. Scarp limit is now 2, all right? Brand ends this Tuesday, the 19th. Canada Goose goes to January 30th. The Light Goose, Greater and Lesser Snow Goose, and Ross's Goose, a.k.a. Likies, that goes until February 15th. Well, very fortuitous meeting last week on a North Jersey trout stream. No ice, man. No ice. I'm still chasing my trout. Ran into a lovely young lady, Chef Jeannie DiMaggio. Well, I found out she was a chef expert cook a little later on in the conversation. And we were talking. I said, you know, deer season's still on. I have plenty of venison recipes. Still have some, you know, the pheasant and quail season, stocking season rather, you know, still going on, but just, you know, stock birds, that stopped about 3 weeks ago. So I got those pheasants in the freezer, vacuum seal, have some breast. Now you fry the pheasant, you do this with the pheasant, do that with the pheasant. Wanted something a little different. Chef Jeannie came up, Tom P, why not pheasant piccata? Ever hear of it? I said, I heard a chicken piccata, pheasant, why not? Well, Chef Jeannie joins us right now on Rack and Fin Radio, going to go over this. Really make the sweat come out on your upper lip. when you check this out. And she's going to also give us a side and a wine and a dessert. Pheasant piccata. Hey, it's also going to work on quail. Just put a little more breast there in the pan. You have the birds in the freezer, even if they're vacuum sealed. Don't let them sit that long. These are prime game birds, man. Great eating. Sorry, Chef Gene, I get a little long-winded. How you doing?
Good morning, Tom P. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, thanks for joining us, Gene. It was sort of, I sort of jumped her. Hey, how about a recipe for Rock and Fin Radio? And she just looked at me, oh, man, calm down, big guy, calm down. Well, Gene, this pheasant piccata recipe looks absolutely outstanding. And listen, it's not that difficult. I can do it. Basically, anyone in the kitchen with two hands can do it. Gene, let's go into this. I mean, you have four boneless pheasant breasts, basically eight breasted fillets, you know, wads of fillet. Go into this, please. It sounds great.
Sure. It's a simple recipe. It only takes about 20 minutes to prep and then 10 minutes to cook. And what you have is the fillets. You'll have about eight fillets out mm-hmm. of the bone, like four boneless breasts. And you just flour them, like dredging them like a chicken piccata would do. Same thing. With extra virgin olive oil and butter in there and saute it.
Well, so time out, time out. G.A. I'm a very particular guy. I used to do my grocery shopping at the Wawa, people, so you know what I'm talking about. On the flour, any particular brands? I'm a fan of Gold Medal. Does it store brand? Does it make a difference?
I buy Gold.
Gold Medal. And Gene, too, what about the butter? There's the salted butter, sweet salted butter, or unsalted sweet cream butter. And I guess they have different melting points. What do you prefer?
Sure. What I use is the unsalted, the sweet butter. I buy Land O'Lakes.
Oh, there you go.
At your grocery store.
Well, Land O'Lakes. Wait, that's the one they took the Indian woman off the box, right?
Oh, they did.
I'm boycotting them. Anyway, listen, you get the message. Okay, Gene, go ahead.
Okay, then you have two lemons. One you're going to slice thin for later on when you present mm-hmm. that on the dish. The other one you're going to juice a lemon, okay? And then mm-hmm. you have garlic. If you like, you can buy the jar, which is already minced.
Minced, right.
Or you can chop your own, about two tablespoons.
Okay.
You're also going to buy capers, small capers, rinsed. I don't know if you know what those are, but
I know what they are. They look like little green nasty things in a jar.
Yeah.
Do they have a flavor? I'm afraid of them.
No. Okay, they're from the Mediterranean. They're pickled like almost like in a pickle brine.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very lemony, salty, and it almost tastes like an olive.
Okay.
If you like olives.
There you go.
You throw those in the pan. So that's all going to cook together.
Medium heat, high heat? What's the dealio?
Yeah, we use a medium heat.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple. It all comes together. And you just, I don't know, you saute it for a while. It's like 10 minutes.
Okay.
And you're done.
Wow. Now, do you serve it over, serve the breasts over anything in particular, pasta or rice, or is it on its own?
You could do over pasta. I like to do a side of like Yukon Gold mashed potatoes.
Ooh.
That. And maybe like Ooh. Your seasonal vegetable or whatever, like a roasted asparagus or mm-hmm. a grilled broccoli on the
okay.
side.
And hit me with hit us with a wine, Chef Jeannie. Hit us with a wine.
Oh. Well, I like the Pinot Grigios. So you want something a little dry that's
mm-hmm.
Lemony. So I usually buy the Santa Margarita.
Oh, is she? Oh, she's pricey here. She's well, the best, Gene. Yeah.
Tom P, it's a little pricey, but you can get a lower price, good Italian Pinot.
No, I'm writing this down as we go, Chef Genie. So I'll go to Santa Margarita. I just have to not buy my couple of six packs of Miller Lite. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, that's good. So you can serve that or a nice Chardonnay.
Chard. I'm a fan of the Bin 222. What do you got?
Okay.
That's Australian.
Well, either any Australian or I really like the Kendall Jackson, but.
Doesn't he play for the Knicks?
Well.
Kendall Jack? No, I'm sorry. Well, Gene, what about a dessert?
Okay, dessert. A really nice cheesecake would go with this. A creamy cheesecake. You can do maybe some side berries if you like, strawberries or mixed berries or pineapple. That would be good.
I'm liking that.
Oh yeah.
Believe me, I'm ballooning nice as I sit in the studio here. Okay, Chef Jeannie DeMons, listeners, it's a pheasant piccata recipe. If you think of the chance to write down, go to the podcast and listen to how it's going to be, you know, and towards the end of the show, so segment four of the program. And just try it. You have the pheasants in the vacuum seal. You have the quail. Try it. Don't wait a year to eat these birds. Don't wait 6 months to eat these birds. You worked hard for them. They're out there in the fields. You busted the brush. You had your dogs working. Enjoy the harvest. Enjoy the harvest. Now, this pheasant piccata recipe is kick-ass, man. Make your tongue slap your brains out. Well, Jeannie, what are you up to for the winter? I mean, you guys going to be doing any deer hunting, any more trout fishing? What's the dealio?
Well, if the weather gets a little warmer, I may be going back to the club to fish.
On the Muskinet Congress. Oh, man, I'm going to hit you in the spring for a trout recipe. Uh-oh.
Oh, nice rainbow trout on the grill.
Uh-oh. Sounds good. Well, just say, Jeannie, you take care. Best to everyone. I'll see you on the stream one of these days again.
Thank you so much, Tom P.
Take care.
You.
See you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yes, pheasant piccata. Badass recipe. Oh, man. It is good. It is good. I plan to be making it this weekend as well. Okay, man. Be right back. Up a break. Hey, if we have time, I hear the white perch are just insane. Okay, man. Rack and Fin Radio, white perch to follow.
So what is Talk with a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk with a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk with a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Before you drive the all-new Nissan Rogue, you gotta ask yourself, how rogue are you gonna go? We talking be one with nature in the desert rogue? Go snowshoeing in Alaska rogue? Or take the long way home just because kind of rogue? Just a question, but with five available drive modes, you're sure to find the answer.
Go rogue in the all-new, fiercely reimagined 2021 Nissan Rogue, now with the most standard safety features in its class.
See owner's manual for important safety information. Auto Pacific segmentation. 2021 Nissan Rogue versus latest in market competitors. Base models compared.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Back for our final segment. Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of January 16th and 17th. As promised, some white perch hot off the water info with Captain Dave. The Rave Show, Absecon Bay Sports and 81 Natalie Terrace in Absecon. Captain Dave, man, you are ground zero. You are the vector for white perch in the pan action. What do you got, Skip?
Well, I wish they were a little closer to here at my door, but the Mullica River and the Egg Harbor Rivers are, well, basically on fire when it's, well, it's only 32 degrees out. That's, can't beat that for the middle of January.
Yeah. Yeah, and Dave, this Saturday, Friday, I say, it looks like a warm front for the next few days, a little wet here and there. But, Dave, the water is right. The water is clean. I'm driving all over the place. Dave, this is prime perch time, and there's also, a bite going on down the Cape, yellow perch and white perch. This is just some great fishing. Tom, you're hearing Tom P. say this, and I make no bones about running anywhere, hundreds of miles to do some ice fishing. The hell with the ice fishing, Dave. We have great open water ultralight action here.
Yeah, well, a week and a half ago, I was out for the first time ever in my life on open water fishing in the boat in January, and we had a heck of a day. I was one of our fishing buddies from way back, Nick Onishevsky, and he did a new episode of his fishing saltwater underground. We
did
it on the white perch, and man, we had quite a day. A little bit breezy, but we tucked ourselves up under a bank behind some phragmites.
Yeah, there you go.
And he started announcing the show, and before he could get 10 words out of his mouth, the rod bent over, and it was just a good day. It's going to be a great show. That'll be the middle of February, but yeah. Right now there's fish out there. No need to wait.
And Dave, is it primarily a grass shrimp bite? They hitting bloodworms as well?
Well, we had plenty of bait with them because, you know, if anybody, I'm sure you know that I own a bait shop, so I wasn't gonna hold back with the bait for a television show. We had plenty of bait, and it seemed like like when they were biting good, you know, the bloodworms and the grass shrimp were pretty much equal.
There
but when the tide went slack and, you know, they did slow down for a few minutes, you know, it was the grass shrimp that was getting the bites. But when the tide picked up, you know, they were just back to both again. So,
there you go. Okay, Dave.
You just got to
go ahead. Now, what rigs are you using? Just a standard high-low?
Yeah, the standard, you know, Pompano style. I got some name from made up special for me from Butch's Tackle. It's a, you know, local tire.
I met him, little old guy. I met him in a parking lot of the Acme in Tuckerton.
Yeah, really nice guy.
Yeah,
you know, older guy. And he must be fast with his hands because he's tying them up quick.
Woo, but, he is.
But. Yeah, well, we can't depend on China anymore, so we got to buy local as much as we can.
Yep, absolutely.
And I can't tie them fast enough. I tried a little bit last winter, and I said, man, I got to find somebody to do this for me.
Dave, listen, I noticed the size of these white perch. I mean, there's some specimen fish being decked.
Yeah, there are definitely lots of jumbos and some really nice ones, and you know, well, you can't keep them in the rivers, but there's some really nice stripers are already mixed in. Well, they've been mixed with them all year.
Right.
And it's, you know, I can't wait. I may or may not try to get out of with perch charters before the March 1st. But after March 1st, I'm definitely going to get out there this year because there's a lot of stripers in the rivers.
Right.
And I know they're going to bite come March 1st. So that's. I will be doing that, but in any case, you know, it's just good. And I don't hear a whole lot from the Egg Harbor, but I'm hearing this, you know, stories from everywhere. It's the Egg Harbor River, even the other side, the Morris River and all. I got,
yep.
You know, you may have trouble finding bloodworms and grass shrimp, but you won't have trouble finding it here. So
Dave, Naco
Creek,
you waste
too much time looking for them. You just come over, see me.
Yep.
I'll point you out to the best spots I can figure and we'll get you some bait.
Dave, Naco Creek and Bass River have been pretty decent as well. Hey Dave, now question, Dave, before we wrap up the show, it's winter, your hours, weekend hours only, call ahead. What's the deal?
We're going to make it pretty much call ahead. I'm still pretty much trapped in this box here, this Peking Bay Sportsman Center. For good or for bad, it's where I live. It's my house. It's the most beautiful house in Peking, right on the water. I see
it
more
is.
Than anybody else.
Yep.
And I, you know, that's one thing. It is for sale, and that's one reason I hate to think about it, is I'll have to move somewhere else. But since I'm here, call ahead. Just about any time it's daylight, I'm usually hanging around the shop, so just call. You get here. Yeah, I got a bell all the way on the outside of the steps. Ring the bell if the rope's across. Well, I'll probably be around here to take care of you. But just make sure ahead of time, and I will be here. No problem.
Okay, Captain Dave. We'll see you guys sometime this week. You take care. Best to Judy and Sugar and the kids. All right.
Yeah. Okay. We're all here. Just, you know, getting this winter out as good as we can. Hopefully, we'll get some vaccinations out here and we can get a little more sociable. But at the meantime, the perch don't have to socially distance. So get on them.
You see you later, Dave. Be good. Captain Dave Show. That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Speaking about vaccinations. Oh, early in the week, I got my first of two shingles shots. Yeah, man. I've seen some big, badass guys. I mean, whoa. You wouldn't even think of messing with. Got shingles? Tommy P, you don't want this. Crying like babies, man. So at my age, had to get it. Hey, get out there and enjoy hunting, fishing. Still a lot of opportunities out there. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio. God bless America. God bless the troops. God bless our first responders. Rack and Fin Radio. See ya. 95.5 FM.